BBC, Holby City, starring Leila Ruas as Sahira, Edward McLeam as Greg, Guy Henry as Hanson, and Joseph Milson as Luke.
Well, the one close colleague on Darwin who persuaded me that she was an essential asset. Mr. Douglas was particularly insistent, I remember.
Right, sis.
He's done a runner from his YRO.
YRO?
Yeah, it's like a community sentence thing.
Unless, of course, you'd be willing to let me mentor him.
I thought I would team you two up.
Sometimes you just have to listen to the patient. I make the calls here, not you.
Hey, she's just a little bit upset.
This is your fault. All of it!
Equilibrium by Patrick Holmes. At night in the ladies' toilets, Sahira, looking shattered, splashes some water on her face, staring at her reflection in the mirror. She pushes some strands of stray hair behind her ears, trying to compose herself. She dries her hands with a paper towel, then dabs it on her face. Then she picks up her mobile phone and sees there's a missed call from Greg. Walking on crutches, Greg's making his way past the nurse's station when Jack stops him.
Greg, have you seen Sahira? I need her report on Anthony Camacho, the kid with the gun.
He's dead.
Yeah, so I need an instant report from you, from Rafi and Sahira.
Have to wait, I'm afraid. Been sent home.
Who's been sent home?
All of us.
In the staff room, Rafi's sitting at the table, deep in concentration, as he methodically fills out a form. The door opens, and Sahira comes in.
You came back. I was wondering where you'd got to.
I needed some time to think.
I bet you did.
You're at least going to let me try and explain.
No, I don't think I am. Not just yet. You are not the only one who needs time to think.
We can't leave it like this. Where does it leave us?
Right now, I'm not sure there is an us.
In the locker room, Greg's checking his face in the mirror.
Does it hurt?
No, my dignity more than anything else.
I'm sorry.
I'm not. If I was in Rafi's position, I'd probably have done the same. Okay.
Not really.
You lost patience.
It's more than that today. Rafi can barely look at me, let alone talk.
He's just angry. He needs time.
He wants to leave me. I don't know what to do.
What do you want?
Both their bleepers go off. Then they're approaching the nurse's station where Hanson's with Rafi and Jack.
Ah, Miss Shah, Mr. Douglas, good. I'll get right to the point. There's been an incident at a warehouse on the Longhurst Industrial Estate. Multiple casualties, they're on their way here.
Do you need us?
Well, everyone's needed, Mr. Douglas. All wards will be placed on alert.
You and I have incoming in 5 minutes, so get your skates on.
What about me?
A man has been trapped under fallen debris. The emergency services can't move him at the moment, so we need a mobile CTU team there straight away, please.
OK, well, I'll need an anaesthetist.
Go on.
Rafi, are you sure? CTU mobile is a specialist.
I'm a specialist. Remember, that's what consultant means. I guess you'll just have to trust me.
At night, at the camper van, Luke comes in to find Liam sitting at the table, poring over some forms.
It was open.
Make yourself at home.
Any of the finished doing? I wanted some privacy. Didn't fit your mind.
What's all this?
Prep. I've got a meeting with my youth offending team officer tomorrow.
Nothing troubling?
The opposite. I'm applying for an early release from YRO.
Feeling rehabilitated?
Trapped, more like. Actually, it's mostly down to you. Having this job, having a mentor, that kind of thing goes down really well. So I was wondering, would you come along?
To what?
The meeting. I mean, you don't have to do anything, apart from telling them what a fully rehabilitated and responsible member of the community I am.
When is it?
Tomorrow, 12 o'clock. So?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, of course, why wouldn't I? I don't think Eddie will be home anytime soon.
And what is it?
All ward alert. Duty calls.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Emergency services vehicles with blue lights flashing pull up outside the warehouse. Sahira and Rafi jump out of one of them. They both grab their equipment from the back and Sahira leads the way in. Sahira marches into the warehouse.
Straight up?
Guys, hold up until we make the scene safe, okay?
She breaks into a run at the sight of a man up ahead, trapped under debris.
Mr. Marsh?
Lucas. It's Lucas.
I'm Sahira Shah, trauma surgeon. To my right is Dr. Rafi Rauza. Can you tell us what happened?
I don't really remember. Stuff falling. Who's Caitlin?
Who's Caitlin?
That's my wife. I told them I wanted to see my wife.
Someone will let her know what's going on. First, we need to let you know what the situation is.
I know what the situation is. I'm dying. I want to see my wife. Say goodbye.
Well, you can tell her yourself, back at the hospital.
GCS is dropping.
We need to get him out.
Yeah, how? Can't get in there to put a collar on, let alone a spinal board.
Someone needs to go in there to support his head and neck.
Not until this wreckage has been moved.
Above them, a huge box and some metal shelving crashes to the ground. Lucas is lying beneath the unstable structure.
Quickly, guys! What are you doing? Oh. We have to wait. It's not safe. We have to wait.
We don't have time. He's going into shock. He could stop breathing.
You don't know that, Sahira!
Rafi looks nervously at the groaning metal above her.
Exciting, isn't it?
Can hardly contain myself.
An all-ward clinical instant alert. Not knowing what might come through the door.
Yeah, people are hurt, dying. Exciting stuff.
Is this a clinical incident, patient?
The only incident Mr. Oakshott's had is currently running down his leg.
And that too, spree.
Transfer from ED. Raised temperature, slight pain in his abdomen, and passed a little blood in his stool this morning. Let's prep for a gastroscopy just to be on the safe side.
Gastroscopy? Can I assist?
Yeah, OK. Follow me.
Tara's now sponging the man's leg.
When I said assist, this isn't exactly what I had in mind.
You'll get your chance.
Oh, Mr. Rachel, just need you to lie down for us. Call Mr. Malik. Okay, Mr. Rachel.
Mr. Malik.
Okay, talk to me. What's going on?
He vomited blood. He's 90 over 40.
He's hypertensive, bleeding internally.
He's hypovolemic.
Okay, get blood, pushed him through. A varix must have blown. It's in starting tube. Right now, please.
His pulse has stopped.
Starting compressions. Call the crash team.
Up on red, up on black.
On red, up on black.
Left on red. Down on red.
No, running
stop. Mr. Marsh, we're going to move you. OK, Mr. Marsh. Lucas. He's not breathing. Let's get him out of here now. One, two, three, move. One, two, three, move. One, two, three, roll. Down. Lift. Let's get him on the trolley. He's still not breathing.
I'm on it.
Why aren't you intubating?
All right, all that to protect his C-spine. Just have me shove a tube down his neck, did you? Thank you.
Cricothyroid.
She watches as Rafi inserts a syringe into Lucas's neck, then attaches a tube with a bag unit on the end, which he squeezes.
Still nothing. Come on. Come on.
Breathing. Let's go. Let's go.
Sahira looks at Rafi impressed.
Good evening, Mr.
Zimmerman. Andrew Zimmerman.
You know, like it says in his name body in big letters.
I'm Mr. Hemingway. What seems to be the problem?
There was an accident. A load of metal units and wood pallets come crashing down pretty much on top of me.
Well, you got off lightly, then.
Did the paramedics let your wife know that you're here?
My wife? No, not that I know of.
Well, I could call her if you like.
Only worry,
You do have some fairly deep splinters. Shouldn't be too difficult to remove, but it will be fairly painful. So we'll give you some local anaesthetic and some morphine, 10 milligrams.
No morphine.
Allergic?
Yeah, something like that.
It doesn't say that in your notes.
The notes are out of date. Paracetamol and ibuprofen will be just fine.
Trust me, you'll need something a bit stronger than that.
Like I said, that'll be just fine.
Malik's doing chest compressions on Mr. Oakshott.
Two, three, breathe.
I'm calling it. Time of death?
No, we have to keep going.
Dr. Lowe, what do you think you're doing?
We have to keep trying.
There's no point. He's dead. Time of death?
23:25.
Malik and the crash team move out, leaving Tara still in deep shock, watching as a nurse covers over Mr. Oakshott's body with a sheet. Lucas is being wheeled out of the ambulance.
BP 90 over 65, pulse 100, SATS 96. See spine, chest and pelvis x-ray. We also need to do a head and chest CT.
Got it. You couldn't intubate him?
GCS dropped from 11 to 6, initially 14. Breathing stopped, so
Rafi performed a cricothyroidotomy. That's nifty. Well done. Right, I'll take over from here. Take a rest, Wonder Woman. Eat a cupcake.
I'll see you upstairs. Nifty. High praise indeed from Jack. White coffee, please.
I'll go home. Let Magda go.
You're going?
Somebody has to.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just what I said. One of us has to go home to our kids.
Implying that I don't want to.
I don't know. What was that back there? Sorry, you got a death wish?
I was doing my job.
My job is to save people's lives, not throw your own away.
It was a calculated risk.
It was reckless.
You don't understand.
But Greg does.
This isn't about that.
What isn't it? And there's a reason this happened, a reason you
need. Nothing happened.
But it could have, right? You knew that there was something between you. And instead of stopping it, instead of walking away, you bring me here right into the middle of it. Was that a calculated risk too, or was it reckless? Maybe there is part of you that wanted this to happen to me to find out.
And why would I want that?
You tell me. Because you are right about one thing. I don't understand. I don't understand any of it.
Mr. Zimmerman's in pain as Luke draws a splinter from his shoulder.
Oh!
All right, Mr. Zimmerman.
Fine.
All right. Last one coming. There we go. There we go.
Andrew!
Kelly!
I heard about it on the news. Why didn't you call me?
I didn't want to worry you. I know you hate hospitals.
Me?
You must be Mrs. Zimmerman.
Mrs. No. Not yet, anyway.
Shelley's my fiancée.
Fiancée?
Yeah, if you don't mind, we'd like a bit of privacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I bet you would.
OK, we'll leave you alone to catch up.
I wonder he didn't want me to call his wife.
Not our business.
Well, last time I checked, bigamy was still illegal.
Well, until they're married, no crime's been committed.
Amen.
She checks her phone.
All right?
No, still no word from Liam. I've been trying to call him, tell him I'm going to be held up.
He knows. He's at my place, or at least he was. Had a problem?
No, except according to the terms of his YRO, he has to stay with me whether he likes it or not. I mean, you should know that. You're his mentor, remember?
Well, not for much longer, hopefully. The YRO bit, not the mentor bit.
What are you talking about?
He's applied to have his order rescinded. You didn't know?
No.
Right, that's good thing, though, yeah?
Yeah.
In the locker room, Greg takes out a tin with a lighter and some cigarettes in it, putting one in his mouth.
Didn't know you smoked.
Only in times of stress. It's a weakness.
Not your only one.
Yeah, you made your point. Look, it's not what you think.
Really? What was it then? Dalliance? Harmless flirtation, the meeting of minds.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Sahara is my friend.
She's my wife.
I'm sorry, I don't know what to say.
Do you love her?
What?
Are you in love with her? Yeah. Well, at least I know now. And maybe you do too.
In the on-call room, Sahira's lying on the bed, wide awake. Some scans and x-rays are scattered on the floor. Deep in thought, she reaches out to pick up her phone off the bedside table. As she gazes at the screen, a half-smile crosses her face. The wallpaper is a picture of her two children, a little boy and his baby brother. Outside, Greg makes his way along the corridor to the room. He He reaches out and grips the handle of the door as if about to enter. Sahira hears a noise at the door and gets up. When she opens it, there's no one there, apart from a cleaner making his way along the corridor with a floor waxing machine. Elliot enters the consultant's office to find Greg on the sofa with a blanket over him.
Oh, Mr. Douglas.
Oh, morning, Mr. H.
Morning. Please tell me you didn't sleep here last night.
No, I wasn't sleeping.
What's the matter?
Do you think I'm a coward?
I think you are many things, but a coward?
No. Why? I had a dream last night. I was standing in front of a door. I wanted to go through it, but I couldn't.
Well, in basic dream theory, locked doors represent opportunity denied. Someone or something is blocking your progress.
It wasn't locked. I just couldn't.
Take the leap of faith.
So I've been lying here thinking about it. Thinking about what was stopping me.
Well, that's where you've been going wrong right from the off.
How's that?
You don't think about taking a leap of faith, you just take it.
Thanks.
My pleasure.
Andrew's wincing in pain.
Mr. Zimmerman.
No morphine.
No, I understand that, but clearly the paracetamol and ibuprofen isn't working. It says here you were treated with diclofenac for gallstones 7 years ago. Yeah. Well, it won't take away all of your pain, but it should alleviate the symptoms somewhat, and we can dose as required.
I appreciate that.
He will need food before he starts medication. You might want to buy a sandwich from the vending machine.
Outside, Tara wanders into the hospital grounds, stretching and taking a deep breath. She sits down on a bench and puts her head in her hands.
You all right?
Fine, thanks.
You don't look it.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Really?
Yes, really. Right now, I'm exhibiting signs of a central nervous ischemic response triggered by inadequate oxygenated blood in the brain.
What does that mean?
It means I'm feeling a little faint.
Gotcha. I'll be on my way then.
Sorry. I didn't mean to be rude. I'm just feeling...
a bit... silly. You look all right. You might want to see the doctor about the ischemic thing, though.
She looks up at the man, who's dressed in a clown costume and makeup.
Good morning, Miss Sharp.
Is it?
I've no reason to suspect otherwise. Miss Naylor informs me that CTU excelled itself last night, for which you are to be commended. You look tired.
I am tired.
Well, it's work.
What did you say to Raffi?
You'll have to be more specific.
Why did you tell Raffi there was something going on with me and Greg?
I did no such thing.
Don't lie to me. Raffi said...
Your husband was being imprecise. Dr. Raza accused me of forcing you to remain at this hospital against your better judgment. I simply pointed out to him that in the specific example he cited, there were others whose influence mattered more.
Well, it's the same thing, and you know it. You wanted Raffi to be suspicious.
I've known you for 15 years. You've been married for 7 of them. What possible reason could I have for wanting to jeopardize your relationship now? And I suggest you ask yourself the same question.
I didn't want this.
And yet it's happened, hasn't it? I suggest you examine what it is you did want when you encouraged this added complication in your life.
Greg passes the nurse's station just as a woman in her 30s is coming the other way.
Are you looking for someone?
Yeah, Sahira Shah.
Well, that makes two of us. Are you a patient of hers, Miss?
Caitlin, no, I'm not a patient. She left me some messages about Lucas Marsh. I think there was an accident last night.
Warehouse? Would you like to take a seat here? Can I get you a tea or a coffee or something?
No, I'm fine. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Sahira, this is Caitlin. Oh. She's here to see Lucas Marsh.
Of course. He's her husband, after all. Is he in a coma?
No, he's just heavily sedated. We wanted to give his body as much rest as possible. Lucas has been through quite an ordeal. We're going to decrease the sedation soon to see if he responds.
So I should stay?
Did you have to be somewhere?
Well, no, not really. It's just, I wasn't sure he'd want to see me.
That's all he could talk about. Something wrong?
No, I guess not, no. We've been separated for quite some time. I've barely spoken to him in a year.
Luke overhears Liam and Eddie.
Why didn't you tell me?
Look, it's supposed to be a surprise.
I'll tell you what was a surprise, Liam. You knocked on my calls last night.
I told you, I was busy.
I'm too busy to call.
You told her about the meeting?
I didn't know it was a secret.
Now she's fretting, wants to come along.
Maybe she just wants to help.
And she's right here, you know?
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you because I didn't want to get your hopes up. You know, get my hopes up. I didn't mean to hurt you, OK?
Of course it's OK. And of course I want to help, which is why I got you these.
A tie? Really?
Yeah.
There's something wrong.
Andrew's vomiting.
What's happened?
I don't know, he was fine, and then he felt sick and he couldn't breathe properly.
Tachycardic?
500 micrograms adrenaline intramuscular.
What's happening to him?
He's going into anaphylactic shock.
Why?
I have no idea.
Breathing unaided. Signs are good. Should wake up any minute.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, I guess. You?
Could do with a drink.
Now?
Well, not now, actually. Whenever. Look, Sahira.
What are we doing?
Having a conversation.
Is that what we've been doing all this time, having conversations but never really talking?
Talking's not my strong point. But I'm trying. Now.
Why?
Because I love you.
Where am I?
Mr. Marsh, good to have you back. How do you feel?
Like I made it.
You did. Try to rest. Lucky for you, there were no serious fractures, but your body's been knocked about quite a bit. I want to book you in for another CT scan.
Where's Caitlin?
I'll go and get her.
At the cafe, Tara's getting a coffee and a cake as Chantel comes over.
Blood sugar. The cupcake. I always find my blood sugar levels dropping this time into a shift.
I'm hungry, not diabetic. I'm sorry, I'm just... There he is again.
Who?
Ronald MacDonald.
Oh, that's not Ronald MacDonald, that's Roger. Come on, I'll introduce you. You'll love Roger. Roger! He's a regular on Pete's. He works a lot with kids that have leukemia, yeah. That sort of thing. He's the loveliest man you'll ever meet. Roger, there's someone I'd like you to meet. Tara Lowe, this is Roger Delaney. Roger, this is Tara Lowe.
Pleased to meet you. Hey, gang.
Are you all right?
A bit tired. I've just finished day surgery, staff kids party, and then before that it was the ED.
Maybe you should pull it a day.
Oh, I can't. I've got paediatrics and oncology at 7:30. It's my big finale.
Roger!
Not again.
Roger, can you hear me? Roger?
Greg's returned with Caitlin.
Lucas, you're all right.
I am. I thought I'd lost you.
Lost me?
Can't get rid of me that easy. Where's Danny?
What?
Where's Danny? I thought you'd have brought him with you.
What is this?
Where's Danny?
Caitlin.
Mrs. Marsh, you can't just walk away. It's your husband. This is some sort of sick joke.
Caitlin, who's Danny?
It's my son. It's my son.
Where is Danny?
He's dead. He died 2 years ago.
At Andrew's bedside.
Is he going to be okay now?
Let's hope so.
What's wrong with him?
Luke?
Sandwich.
Sorry.
Sandwich you got him. What was the filling?
Egg and bacon.
But he's allergic to egg.
Did you not see the sign with no egg written on it?
No, he's not. I've given Andrew eggs hundreds of times.
Is anaphylactic shock the new way to say I love you?
He's not allergic to eggs.
It's in his patient notes.
Right, well, the notes are wrong.
Right, we'll monitor him closely.
Whoa, check you out. Has anybody seen my brother?
I feel like a right idiot.
Yeah, well, you look rehabilitated and that is all that matters.
Is it lunchtime already?
No, I'm meeting my liaison first. You're not for a couple of hours yet.
All right. Have you got an address?
Yeah, it's on your desk. So what do you think?
How do you feel?
Like I'm pretending to be something I'm not.
Luke glances over at Shelley and Andrew, thinking to himself. Sahira and Greg are with Lucas.
do you live?
27 Frederick Street.
And where are you now?
Holby City Hospital. Where's Caitlin?
Mr. Marsh, if you'll just answer the questions.
I am answering your questions. Why won't you answer mine?
What's the last thing you remember before the accident?
Warehouse. Yeah, I remember noise falling and then nothing. Where's my son?
Mr. Marsh, what's the date?
Date?
Today's date.
It's the 3rd of April.
Well, it's actually the 4th now, but that's close enough.
What year?
2010.
And why didn't you take him to the ED?
I felt kind of responsible.
How?
I shook his hand. He had to be there.
He passed out, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Then he woke up, then he felt fine and wanted to go home, and they all lived happily ever after.
Well, you've certainly improved. Your BP's fine. Heart rate too. In fact, I'm not sure why you even collapsed in the first place.
Central nervous ischemic response triggered by inadequate oxygenated blood in the brain. Heard it's been going round.
Still, I think we should run some tests just to be on the safe side.
Really? There's no need. I don't want to waste any more of your time.
Get back in bed, bozo. You're not going anywhere until Dr. Lowe over here gives you a clean bill of health.
Me?
Yeah, you broke it, you bought it.
Post-traumatic amnesia is the type you see in the movies. Bang on the head, forget your name type things. It's not always as simple as this in practice, but it's the most likely diagnosis in this case.
So what happens now?
He's still asking for you.
And? You don't expect me to go back in there, do you? And say what? Hey, Lucas, sorry about this, but it's actually 2012, not 2010. Quite a bit's changed. Your son, who you adored, who would have turned 6 just last week, he's dead.
Caitlin.
And your wife, who loved you so much, it hurt, can barely look at you.
Caitlin.
Sorry, I don't understand. Amnesia. How can he forget? How can anyone forget?
Some things, some memories are just too hard to bear. The mind tries to forget about them, wants to forget about them. If you had a choice, wouldn't you?
I'd change it if I could, but I can't forget it. That's the difference. Excuse me.
So you're up.
I should probably go.
What I said earlier, I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable. You asked what we were doing, what this was about. Well, that's what it was about for me.
It's Lucas.
Colder.
Here?
Freezing.
Here. People are looking.
Yeah. Good. I get to see you smile.
Stop it.
I'm serious. You should smile more. You need to smile more.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you're very serious for someone so young. Touched a nerve. What's the matter?
I'm fine.
You can talk to me, you know.
You're my patient.
Not your average one, though, am I?
One of my patients died earlier. It was my first.
First patient?
First patient death. Mm.
Everyone dies eventually, Dr. Lowe.
Not on my watch.
Lucas is being shocked.
No change.
How long without output?
3 minutes.
OK, charge 360. Clear.
Sinus rhythm.
Get him down to radiology. We need an urgent CT scan. All non-essentials are to be put on hold. What happened?
Don't know.
I thought you said he was going to be all right.
I thought you didn't care.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
I don't know what to do. Never cried once. Just withdrew.
He blamed you.
Blamed me, blamed the world. Most of all, blamed himself. I can forgive him for leaving me. I can't forgive him for making me hate him.
Why did you stay here?
Did you see how he looked at me earlier?
Like he needed you.
Like he loved me. Hard to walk away from someone who looks at you like that.
Ascending cholelithiasis. I thought it was gallstones at first, gallbladders enlarged, but I wasn't sure.
Any other symptoms?
When he collapsed, he was sweating quite heavily. Indicates the presence of fever and chills. Put that together with his jaundice.
Jaundice?
Yeah, I thought it was an effect of his face paint at first, but it's all over.
When you palpated his abdomen, was it tender?
No, not particularly.
Not particularly or not at all? Was there morphine sign present?
No. You don't think it's gallstones, do you?
Are you familiar with Courvoisier's law?
In the presence of an enlarged gallbladder, which is non-tender and accompanied by jaundice, the cause is unlikely to be gallstones.
And when the Courvoisier's law is manifest, what is the probable diagnosis?
I told him not to worry, that everything was going to be fine. What am I going to tell him?
Nothing. We don't know anything until further tests, and so neither does he. Okay?
In the AAU office, Luke's at the computer working on Andrew's notes.
Liam. How are you?
Working.
The YOT meeting.
Yeah.
Is it too late?
A little bit.
Sorry, I got caught up.
I can see.
Did it go okay?
Fine, yeah, whatever.
Good, good. You didn't need me there anyway then.
Didn't need you at all.
They give you any idea when they might. Sorry.
I'll let you get on.
Yeah. Hello?
Mrs. Zimmerman, thank you so much for getting back to me. No, I won't take up too much of your time.
Mr. Delaney.
Mr. Delaney, this has turned serious.
No, not serious at all. We just need to run a series of tests.
Oh, that won't be necessary.
Nurse Lane?
Dr. Lowe, really?
FBCs, UNE, amylase, glucose and calcium, plus LFTs and ESR and a CT scan.
Please, listen to
and
me.
And we'll need an ultrasound as well.
I was diagnosed stage 3 pancreatic cancer at Hughes Private Hospital 4 months ago.
Cancer?
Right, so.
Sorry, I didn't know.
No one does. It's not something you want to shout from the rooftops. I'm sorry, I tried to tell you, but I just couldn't.
Are you in treatment?
I was. I discontinued it 6 weeks ago.
You've given up?
No, made a choice. Had to complete a forward somersault and tumble combo while on a course of chemotherapy. The fainting was almost certainly due to my illness. And I didn't mean to waste your time. I'm really sorry.
Who said you wasted anyone's time?
Well, all the tests.
Oh, we're still doing the tests. We don't know for sure what caused you to collapse. It could be an illness, it could be a complication, or it could be something completely new.
Where's Shelley?
Gone to get something to eat.
She's very worried about me.
She loves me.
Yeah. Does she know you?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, she doesn't think you're allergic to eggs, but it says you are right here in your notes.
It's only a very mild allergy.
You're mild about anaphylactic shock, you might have died. In fact, if you had died, we would have contacted your next of kin, according to your notes, which is a Mrs. H. Zimmerman, your wife. Does Shelley know about her?
You leave her out of this.
Sorry, who? Shelley or your wife?
I don't have a wife.
No, but Andrew Zimmerman does. In fact, I've got her number right here. Do you want to try calling her? I'll save you the trouble. I spoke to Mrs. H. Zimmerman. She assured me that her husband moved to Dresden 3 years ago. So the question is, if he's Andrew Zimmerman, who are you?
Greg's having a cigarette outside.
Did you?
He's in the CT scanner right now.
Thank you. I'm talking to Caitlin.
Thought she was going.
No, she's not going to go. She loves him. She thinks she does.
Must be hard.
You were good with her before. You know, she was angry and a lot of pain. You have a way, a charm.
You know that's bedside manner. I am more than that.
I mean, you get people. It's a gift.
I don't get you.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, maybe I do. You don't love me.
sorry.
Don't be. At least I now know.
If I don't... then what was I thinking? Why take the risk? How could I hurt him like that? Hurt someone I love? Unless...
You don't love him. Or maybe you've just forgotten. Either way, you need to work it out.
I wasn't trying to steal anything. Just hitch a ride on someone else's name. Andrew's name. He was a neighbour of mine. We didn't really know each other, but I knew he'd emigrated, so when a credit card turned up in his post,
You stole it.
I didn't take his money. I took his name. So with a credit card and a few utility bills, you can get a bank account. And with that, you can get a new life. You can literally become a new person. A better person.
You don't need a new name to become a better person unless you're running away from something.
Yeah, well, no one got hurt.
Apart from you.
It's my choice, isn't it? You won't tell anyone about this, will you?
Not my business.
She deserves to be happy.
I need your name, your real name. I need to know who you were in order to treat who you've become.
No, I can't.
You must. It's happening again. Give me the name. Whatever it is, can't be worth your life. Come on.
Andrew takes the pen and writes something down.
It's happening again.
100 micrograms adrenaline I am again.
Pulse is 120.
100 milligrams hydrocortisone.
Is that going to make him better?
No, not really.
Not really?
It'll counteract the allergy. It won't stop it recurring. Discontinue all medication. Antibiotics, pain relief, fluids, the lot.
What's that going to do?
Buy some time.
Sahira meets Rafi in a corridor.
Sorry.
Hey.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just a long day.
I've just been to see Hansen.
Oh, yeah? What about?
A few things. It was constructive. Can you spare me some time?
Yeah, of course. It's just, you know, I'm busy.
You're always busy. Sahira, it's important.
You're not wearing... Did you come in to work? Or have you...
No, I came in to resign.
CT scan.
Is it serious? Well, it appears to... Yes. Yes, it's serious. We could operate, but... If there's something you'd like to say to him, say it now. Thank you for being honest. I need a theatre slot ASAP and a GS consult.
In the AAU office, Luke's at the computer looking at Andrew's real records. They show various incidents of alcohol poisoning, drug abuse, and drug dependency. Then, in 2007, attempted suicide. Eddie comes in.
Hey, Mr. Zimmerman's BP is falling and his pulse is rising.
Are the pain relief wearing off?
How long are you going to discontinue that?
Well, as long as it takes to isolate the source of the allergy.
And the antibiotics? I mean, the risk of infection
is pretty... less than the risk of anaphylactic shock.
OK. Oh, have you spoken to Liam? He's not answering his phone.
Yeah, I saw him when he got back from the meeting.
How'd it go?
I don't know. Seemed happy.
You weren't there?
No, I got distracted.
What?
He didn't seem fussed. No, I really don't have time for this conversation. Thank you.
The hematoma is on the aorta between the thoracic...
To the abdominal, yes, I can see that, thank you.
I'll need a GS consult, Mr. Griffin.
That will be taken care of. Have you arranged a theatre?
Yes.
Something else?
Rafi says he offered you his resignation.
Yes, he did.
And you accepted?
I did.
Why?
I think that's a conversation you should have with him.
I'm just asking why you accepted.
Well, he made a very convincing case. It's the best thing for him, the best thing for the hospital, and the best thing for you, Miss Shah.
What's that supposed to mean?
You have a singular opportunity here. You have a singular capability. Your husband realizes that even if you don't. Dr. Raza coming here has caused complications. I think a surgical ward is not the best place for domestic entanglements. His resigning will help to clarify matters so we can all return to focusing on what's really important.
And what's that?
A sense of equilibrium. Control. That'll be all, Miss Shah.
Tara discovers Roger in his clown outfit.
Hey, Tara Lowe.
What do you think you're doing?
Tara, it's over. It's okay, there's nothing you can do.
The tests?
Have been done. You can't change them.
There are treatments.
And there's quality of life.
You won't have a life in 3 weeks if you don't do something.
It'll be the same in 3 months regardless.
You don't know that. Please, let me help you.
You know what would help? Let me see that smile.
How can you expect me to smile?
Let me show you. Come and watch me do my thing. Let me show you. My choice.
I can't. I'm sorry.
Me too.
Resume antibiotics, discontinue the diclofenac.
Isn't that the pain relief?
Yeah. But... could you give us a minute, please?
Yeah, let's go. Come on, it's fine.
Fiance's right. The pain will be considerable.
I can take pain.
I know you can.
You saw.
It doesn't have to be that way again. You don't have to be that way again. If you just talked to Shelley.
No, no, she mustn't know. I've already lost one family.
She might be able to help.
She already has.
Well, maybe I can help too. I understand your fear of your morphine allergy, but there might be a possible compromise. Combination of naproxen and codeine sulfate.
No, no.
The combination should be safe for a man with strength of will. Nurse? Naproxen, codeine, sulfate.
Security's just called. Someone stretched your van.
You're joking.
Speak to Hanson?
Yeah.
Get a consult.
You want to tell me why you resigned? Why Hanson's in it up to his neck?
Henrik had nothing to do with my decision, apart from okaying it.
Okay.
When I got home last night, there was an email from Paul Matheson.
Nottingham. What did he want?
Me. He was offering me the job. Again. And I accepted.
You did what?
What can I say? It was impulsive. I was in a mood, to say the least.
You were in a mood. So you made a life-changing decision for the family without consulting us. What were you thinking?
That I was leaving you. And then I woke up this morning, or rather Indy woke me up. So I made breakfast for the kids. I put on Zingzillas. I missed you. I missed us the way it used to be. So I thought, why not make it like it used to be?
By resigning, by giving up your career.
I'll give up a lot more than that for you, Sally.
I can't ask you to do that.
You didn't. That's the point. You don't want me to give it up. Greg?
No, it's nothing. It's not Greg.
Then what?
I don't know.
Me?
No. No, I don't know. I don't know why I did this, why I hurt you, myself, the kids.
You think you'll do it again?
No. No. It is ready.
Go.
No, I want to explain.
Just go.
Hanson standing at his office window, watching as Sahira walks off, upset, and Rafi kicks a box in frustration. Luke approaches the camper van with Eddie. Some of his possessions are scattered on the ground, and inside it's been trashed. Eddie looks around at the devastation in shock.
Why?
Why do you think?
What, the YOT meeting? He said it went well.
He lied.
Why would he do that?
Because he's human. Because he's a kid, because you let him down when he needed you the most.
You're defending
no, it. No, Luke, I am explaining this.
Well, Liam can explain it to the police.
What, you are a piece of work, aren't you?
Yeah, he's not my responsibility, he's not my brother.
No, but you gained his trust and then you betrayed him, and now because he's kicked off, you want to throw him to the wolves. Like, I knew you were cold, all right? I knew you liked to keep your distance, but I didn't think you were cruel.
Caitlin looks apprehensive as she enters Lucas's room. A nurse has just finished preparing him for theatre.
Hey.
Caitlin.
Yeah, I'm here.
Where's Danny?
Nursery.
On a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the first Tuesday of every month, because I'm at
book club. Does he know what's happened?
A little bit. Just that his daddy's been involved in an accident and, he won't be back for a few days.
But you will be back.
The trace of a smile crosses Lucas's face and he's wheeled out. Caitlin exchanges an understanding look with Sahira.
A Ukrainian, a Chinese, and a clown walk into a hospital. I know you're there.
Sounds like the beginning of a joke, huh?
A bad one.
If it's any consolation, I reacted even worse to the death of my first patient. It never gets any easier. You just get accustomed to it. You'll be all right.
I'm hiding in the toilets because I couldn't accept a man I just met was gonna die of cancer. How is that all right?
I used to hide in the morgue.
They emerge from their cubicles.
The morgue. Really?
Yeah, it was like second home.
Maybe I'll try there next time.
Yeah, I'll show you the best crib.
Tara can't help but smile. Sahira arrives in theatre to find Hansen there.
What are you doing here?
You asked for a GS consult, did you not?
Yeah, I just did think that... Why are you here?
Surgery.
I asked Miss Naylor to lead on this.
You can't, he's my patient.
Correction, was your patient. An aortic hematoma of this size and complexity requires a level of focus which, after recent events, I'm not sure you're able to display. I did warn you that domestic entanglements have no place in a surgical theatre.
In the staff room...
Aren't you supposed to be...?
Hansen bumped me, Jack.
Oh.
Oh. Is that all you can say? Oh. Apparently I'm not focused enough. Apparently there's no place for domestic entanglements in theatre. Singular opportunity, singular capability. How many times do I have to hear that same old song? What do I have to do to get him off my back? Out of my head?
There's nothing you can do. It's just what Hansen does. What? What's so funny?
Oh, I should be angry.
And you're not?
Furious. That's what's funny.
Why, because he got the reaction he wanted?
No. I recognize it. I have to go.
Where?
She gets up and heads for the door. Greg seems to understand what she meant.
Do what you have to.
You'll be okay.
I'll be fine.
Thank you.
But Greg looks downcast after she's gone. In the car park, Raffi's just driving off as she hurries out. She runs in front of the car, causing him to brake sharply.
What the hell are you doing?
Stopping you.
From what?
Sorry.
What for?
For everything. For starting this mess, getting you into it, for hurting you. I have to believe I never meant to hurt you.
And Greg, what was that?
A good friend. It's not about him. It never was.
It was about something, sorry. Hansen.
Everything was just so controlled. He needed me to be the best. He wanted me to focus on my singular capability to the exclusion of everything. You, the kids. I felt alone. I wanted to lash out, that's what I did.
Why didn't you talk to me?
Because you would have done something about it, wanted me to leave, or...
Well, if you felt so alone, isolated...
It's not easy to turn your back on someone who thinks you're gifted.
Maybe he has a point.
No. It's his dream, not mine. I've already lost myself. I'm not going to lose you as well.
A look passes between them.
He's sleeping.
You could use it. He's been through a lot.
Yeah, he has. But he'll get through it. Thank you.
Luke notices Andrew's foot protruding from the sheet and quickly covers it up.
Just making him decent.
I know track marks when I see them.
I wouldn't know.
I know that he's got a past, that he's ashamed of it, that he'll do anything to wipe it away.
That doesn't matter.
Why should it? We've all got a past. All I know is that he was let down by himself, by people around him, people who should have cared. I won't do that.
Oh dear! Oh, I've got three now! Oh dear! Oh dear! What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh dear! Oh dear! Oh dear! Oh my God! Has anybody seen a chair about? Is it behind me? Oh, I'll just go and sit on this chair. Well, anyway, boys and girls, that's it for me. I want you all to say goodbye to me. Oh, are you going to say goodbye to Roger? Did somebody say something?
Bye, Roger!
Yes! Now it's my big finish. Clear the decks. I'm going to do a fantastic somersault. Here we go!
Tara's been watching with a mixture of laughter and sadness.
You see? Doesn't that help?
Back in theatre.
Bleed, suction.
Control that business, Naila.
Yes, I'm trying.
Just know that.
I know. Clamp, please. Another clamp, please. That's splitting everywhere.
Suture it.
I can't. The only thing stopping him from bleeding out is me holding the tear together.
I see.
Need a hand? Yes. Just be careful, it's tearing all over the place.
Dacron graft and platform stool, please, 2 o'clock. Can we adjust the clamp?
No, Sahira, don't touch the clamp. The aorta will tear before you get a chance.
You just have to be quick on the draw.
The Shah.
It's gonna tear.
Not if I can help it.
Sahira goes to work.
Clamp off. Clamp on.
Do you do patterns as well?
Oh, thank you, Michelle. That was...
what you expected of me.
Precisely.
Dacron graft.
Can I have 5 minutes? After you've finished closing up, of course.
Luke's at his desk in the AAU office when Liam comes in.
Thought you might have done a runner.
Just considering it. I got a call from a YLT liaison.
Yeah?
Somebody called him. Said he was a mentor. He told him he'd stand up for me in court because of that. They're applying to have my order revoked.
Luke sounds like a right do-gooder. I wouldn't trust him.
I would. Just don't get why he did it.
Maybe he just thought everyone deserves a fresh start.
With a smile, Liam walks out. In ITU, Greg watches through the glass as Caitlin sits with Lucas, waiting. Barely conscious, he reaches for her hand and takes it in his.
Lucas,
Danny. He's gone.
I know. I'm here, though.
He looks away with a tearful sigh. Greg's still watching. At night, Eddie walks up to the door of the camper van. She knocks on the door and enters to find Luke busy tidying up. He looks at her questioningly, then she picks up some books and hands them to him. He takes them with a smile. Then Eddie carries on helping him tidy up. Luke watches her for a moment with a smile of appreciation. Then they both continue working in contented silence. Hansen enters his office to find Sahira waiting.
Sure, if you're here to complain about being pulled from theatre.
No, I'm not. I'm used to it. Maybe that's the problem.
There's a problem, is there?
You're the one who pointed out that we need to clarify things. I need equilibrium.
I quite agree.
I'm resigning, Henrik. Rafi and I have decided to move on. Together, he's been offered another job and I'm going with him.
I see. Good day, Miss Shah.
I need to find my own way.
You've chosen mediocrity.
No, I've chosen to live my life on my terms. Now, if that's mediocrity, can you not see the problem?
Clearly you've made a decision. I see no reason for justification. Good day.
Thank you, Henrik.
He gives her a polite nod as she walks out. Heading along a corridor, she hands a file to a nurse. In his office, Hansen remains in his chair, silent and unmoving. Meanwhile, Sahira gets in the lift and pushes the button. As the doors close, a smile crosses her face, as if she knows she's done the right thing.
Doors closing.